Next is chapter number 38, and we left off last time in verse number 8 at the final piece of furniture that was made there for the ark. I'm sorry, the tabernacle, rather. Ark is one of those pieces of furniture. And all of those pieces there that were gathered together made for the purpose of the worship of the Lord. We take up with verse number 9 tonight, and we see here concerning the court, the outer court of the tabernacle, and how it is erected and what it is made from there. And we'll move along somewhat quickly through these passages. As most of the stuff we've studied before, we've seen these things before. This is just, we saw the planning of it as God was giving that to Moses on the mountain. And now this is the fulfillment of it as these pieces, these items are being made now here by Bezalel and Aholiab. Woo! Aholiab. I don't know why that's so hard to say. He and the others that they've gathered together to teach them how to make these things. And so we see them as they are actually bringing these things together, putting these things, building these things as God had given Moses direction there on the mountain. And so we begin in verse number 9. We'll read down straight on down through verse number 20 as it describes the court here and the putting together of the court. And so he says, verse number 9, he made the court on the south side, southward. The hangings of the court were of fine twined linen, 100 cubits. And so the court, the side of the court there, 100 cubits long. And their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, the hangings were in 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20. Their sockets of brass 20, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the east side eastward, 50 cubits, the hanging of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate, on this hand and that hand were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen. So you have on the west side and the north and south side, you have the solid wall of linen cloth hanging there as the courtyard. On the front, on the east side, and it's the way it was always to be erected, when they would move the tabernacle and go from place to place, when they would set up the tabernacle in its new place, it was always to face the east. And so these things, the measurements would always line up. The placement of the furniture would always be in the order that God has given, and so it was to be facing the east. On the east side is the gate. And so it's made a little different than the west side in the sense that the west side was a solid wall of linen hanging there. On the east side, you have the three pillars on each side with the veil gate there in the middle of the court there. So you have the gate into the courtyard here on the east side of the court. And so he tells us here in verse number 14, the hangings of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3, their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate on this hand and that hand were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen. And the sockets for the pillars were of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And the hanging for the gate of the court was needlework, of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, and 20 cubits was the length, and the height and the breadth was 5 cubits answerable to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of brass 4, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters and their fillets of silver, and all the pins of the tabernacle and of the court round about were of brass. And so you have the courtyard itself described as far as how they built the court, and the note of the most notable thing, I guess, to be declared concerning this is what verse 18 declares to us. There is one door into that place, one door into that worship. You could only come through that door. And it was, again, the courtyard itself stood tall enough that most people could not look over into it to see what was going on. There was a separation there between the worship of the Lord and the people of God outward. There was only one door that you could get into it, and the average Jew was not permitted to go through it. He could go to the gate itself and bring his sacrifice. There the animal was slain at the gate, and then the priest would take the animal from the gate there and carry it back to do the work of the sacrifice and do the work of the worship. The person that was bringing the sacrifice, they remained at the gate. They did not have an open door for them to come into the presence of God. That's what Christ Jesus would do for us. When he would come, when he would die on the cross, that temple veil there between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was rent from top to bottom. That's symbolizing every veil that was between us and God was removed out of the way in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is that door for us. He is the one that opens that way for us. Without him, there's that separation between us and God. There's no place for us to enter in even without Christ Jesus, our door. And so there's only one door given here for to the entrance to the court. Now verse 21 down through verse number 31, it gives us here an accounting of all, especially of all the precious metals that was given. And so we read here verse 21, this is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest. And Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, hey, I got it right that time, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work and all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 20 and 9 talents. So all the gold weighed out to 20 and 9 talents. A talent is about 75 pounds. About 75 pounds of gold. So that would give them more than a ton of gold that was collected for this work to do, to build all of these items to make for this tabernacle. More than a ton of gold was made or was given for this. He goes on to tell us there in verse 25, and the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,703 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now, again, a talent is about 75 pounds. And so here there was, he tells us again, there was 100 talents. And then 1,775 shekels. And a shekel is about a half an ounce of silver, is what it's describing. So that would put that about 4 tons of silver. 8,000 pounds. 8,000 pounds of silver just for the building of these things and the making of these things. 8,000 pounds of it. Now, we don't know what the money, what it was worth in that day. I mean, that was the currency, was the gold and the silver. So I don't know what the going rate of it was, if there was, if it was even somehow measured. But in our day, in our money, the gold alone is over $64 million. $64 million that they had. Now listen, again, I don't know how much it was worth then, but they robbed Egypt when they walked. When Egypt run them off, I mean, Egypt gave them this. This is where this gold comes from. This is where this silver comes from. It's what Egypt gave them to get out of Egypt. And so they had here again about $64 million worth of gold in our day. That's what it's worth in our day now. Gold, the silver is $2,944,000. So I mean they went away from Egypt there with all kinds of money. All kinds, more than a ton of gold, 4 tons of silver, a brass, verse 29 there describes the amount of brass that was given. Well, let me read verse 27 and 28 there as well. It says, of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of 100 talents, a talent for a socket, and of 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their chapiters and filled them. So each socket that the boards would stand in was about 75 pounds by itself. So each socket, I mean, it wasn't no light construction here that they were messing with. Each socket that the board would stand is 75 pounds of silver that were poured for that purpose. Verse 29 says, and the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. So that's about 2.5 to about 5,000 pounds of brass that they had there for this purpose, for these particular materials that they would make for it. And it tells us there that it was made, that made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, the brazen altar, the brazen grate for the altar, all the vessels of the altar, and the sockets of the court roundabout, the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle and all the pins of the court roundabout. And so that's what the brass was used for. So about 5,000 pounds of brass for that purpose. And so this, there's a lot of money, a lot of wealth there in the building of this worship of the Lord and what it was to be used for and what it was to show forth there, shining forth Christ Jesus our Lord. Now in chapter 39, we go on ahead there and we see here is the high priest garments that are being mentioned again. And this is the making of those and what is found there. You notice as we get into here, there's some pronoun differences. One case it might say he made, and another case it would say they made. And in a couple of places here in the context, you'll see he made and they made. So it's describing Bezalel's work. He is the one that was responsible to build all these things. He was the one to make sure, he was the one in charge to make sure it was all built correctly. And in some instances we see here in this passage, he was the one that did that particular thing. He's the one that built that particular item. But then we see where those that he and Aholiab had employed and taught to do these things. You see where those other workers came in and helped to build these items further, to add the things to the items that were given or listed here in the text. And so you see here, beginning verse 1 of chapter 39, of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. And he, there we see Bezalel being mentioned, he made the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and of fine twined linen. And so Bezalel makes the priest ephod, or Aaron's ephod here. He made it according to those specifications that God had given to Moses on the mountain. And that's one of the things that we'll see throughout this passage here. As he keeps relating to us. It's kind of a quality control thing. You know, we keep seeing over and over again, that's just like God told Moses. That's just like God told Moses. He's built it exactly like God showed Moses on the mountain. And so this it's showing us again that Bezalel, though he wasn't on the mountain, God had given him direction. God had given him wisdom to know what it was he wanted to make. And as he was making those things, Moses said, hey, that's exactly what I saw. Yes, that's what God showed me. That's what God wanted us to build. And so he's building those things as God has given him wisdom to do that, exactly as he had revealed to Moses on the mountain. And so he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and the fine linen with cunning work. And so the ephod of the priest there had those colors there, the blue and the purple and the scarlet, representing the Lord Jesus, and literal gold thread that was woven into that coat as well. And so you've got a piece of artwork here, a masterful piece of these that was given for the priest to wear. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of this ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. So everything was made just as God had declared it to be. Verse 6 says, they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. So he had those two onyx stones on the shoulder clasp that were there upon the high priest's shoulders, with the names of the tribes of Israel engraven upon those stones, showing he was bearing Israel. He was representing them before the presence of the Lord. That was the purpose of the high priest. He was bearing Israel before the Lord, you see. And so he had their names written upon him. Again, representing what our Lord Jesus done for us. And that he bore our sin upon himself in our stead before the throne of God. And so here these stones are placed upon this ephod. Verse number 8, it describes the breastplate. And that goes on down to verse number 21. He made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being double. And they set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. The second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel. 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, everyone with his name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made 2 ouches of gold and 2 gold rings and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathen chains of gold in the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate, and the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened in the 2 ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. They made 2 rings of gold and put them on the 2 ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which is on the side of the ephod inward. And they made 2 other golden rings and put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath toward the forepart of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. So they had rings behind the breastplate that was attached to the ephod just above the girdle there. And the other 2 rings would come and attach up high on the shoulder, below the shoulder pieces there with this. So the breastplate was attached to the front of the high priest's garment there. So verse 22 says he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band round about the hole that it should not rend. And so they made the robe of the ephod, and they had the hem there about the top, around the neck of it, so that it would not be able to be ripped there. And he says, verse 24, they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. So there at the hem of the garment was the bells and the pomegranates, the dried pomegranates making a rattling sound. The bells would ring there. So as long as you heard the bells, as long as you heard the pomegranates rattling, you knew the Lord was accepting the work that the high priest was doing. He was accepting the worship. He was accepting the sacrifice. This became especially important when he would go into the Holy of Holies to bring that sacrifice, or into the holy place to do that work there. Because if you heard, no longer heard the bells, and you no longer heard the pomegranates, something had happened to the high priest. And so they would have to drag him out of there. And so a rope would be tied around his waist in order to bring him out from the Holy of Holies, especially when he would enter in to do that work. And so he says here in verse 26, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen. So they had linen hats that they wore. The high priest had a linen mitre that he wore. They had linen underwear that they made. Every part of their garments were made to the specifications that God had given them to make them. And they made them exactly as God prescribed. As it says right there in verse 29, he says, in the girdle of fine twine linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. So they made it exactly to the order that God had given for it to be made. And then we read verse number 30, when he says, verse number 30, and they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like to an engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre as the Lord commanded Moses. So the high priest on his mitre was this golden plate there, and in that golden plate was written holiness to the Lord. And once again, it was all, as it says there again in verse 31, as the Lord commanded Moses. So each element, we see the construction of it, the making of it, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 32, we'll take up with it next time. Verse 32, the work is done, and Moses comes to do an inspection. And he's looking over all of it. He's making sure that it is in order, and it's made as it's supposed to be. And they're going to show him all of the elements that is made there, and he will give approval of it here in chapter 39. And then chapter 40, everything is put in its place. It's all set up and erected as God had commanded Moses, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so we'll take up with that next time as we consider the inspection by Moses to make sure everything is made as the Lord commanded Moses. All right, let's all stand tonight and we'll be dismissed. Be in prayer for service on Sunday. Remember those many we have on our prayer list. Be faithful. Remember each one of them. Lord willing, we'll see each one Sunday, if not before then. Do be in prayer for those many we have on our prayer list. And Lord willing, we'll see each one on that time. Brother Gordon, would you dismiss us?